I'd like to welcome everybody to our Bible devotional this afternoon, the one that we try to do every Tuesday and Thursday at 2 o'clock as we look to study God's Word, as we look to make application to our life to become better servants for Him. What I'd like to do today is continue a study that we started last time. Last time, we opened up with talking about the fact that during times like this, but really it's not just times like this, it's any time, we see people start questioning God, and in particular questioning God's care for man. Does God care? Whenever we look at what's going on with COVID-19, what it's done to our economy, what it's done to a lot of people's health, no doubt the death that has resulted from it, a lot of people start to want to put blame somewhere. That's something that we see with humanity and mankind. They like to blame shift and put blame somewhere. And one might ask, well, if God does exist, if He is there, one, they might question if He does. But then if they do conclude that He is, they might start wondering, well, does He even care for mankind? Does He care about what they go through? And last time we looked at the fact that He does. And in particular, we talked about the fact that we know that He cares because He gives us His Word. It is through His Word that man is warned, that we can gain wisdom and guidance and understanding of how to get through this life. It's through His Word that man is saved. And it's through His Word that man's faith grows, as we see in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I'd like to continue that study today and move on to a different point, separate and apart from the fact that God gave us His Word, and if he cares for man, then why did He give man His Word in order to be able to obtain salvation, to be right with Him when life on earth is over, to be able to enter into heaven and to hear those words on that judgment day. But if he cared for man, why would He give him? Or if He doesn't care for man, why would He give him His Word? I'd like to continue that thought today into a different element, another realm, as far as seeing God's care for man. Before we do that, though, I do want to remind everybody and remind us of the fact that even though we're going through this time, we do need to remember that God is, and He's there. And He tells us to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, we read in Psalm 46:10. We can see throughout history, we can see throughout reading the Bible from the beginning of time to today, and all that we see there during the Bible, throughout the Bible, that God does care for man. That these things come up might not be this exact pandemic, although this is the first time the world's seen a pandemic, but no doubt suffering has resulted due to sin entering this world. That doesn't mean that God isn't there. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care. He no doubt cares for man. And one of the things he tells us to do is be still and know that I am God, that I am in control. But in particular, I want us to remember what we talked about from Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, in the account that we have there, where we see that God's main focus and the whole reason why Jesus came was not so man would be right physically, not so man would be able to have the healthiest and the wealthiest lifestyle here on this earth, that he would have no problems whatsoever. No, what God's concern is, what His focus is, and why Jesus was sent, and why He came and lived the life He lived and died the death that He did, was to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what we get there from Luke chapter 19. In that whole account there, starting in verse 1 and going through verse 10, there you have a man by the name of Zacchaeus, and the fact that he is this rich, wealthy tax collector, one who was successful in that regard. If Jesus is all about just your success here on this earth, then Zacchaeus wouldn't have been one that he was after. But you see what he says there is, his focus was to seek and to save the lost. And so we laid that out, and that is foundational. We need to understand that. Because a lot of times man gets going through this life and we start thinking that that God is there to provide for me to have the most successful, wealthiest, healthiest life there with absolutely no problems. And that's not promised. That's not promised. What we see is we see that struggles and trials and different things are going to come through this life. Conflict is going to be there. What God's concern is that you're right with Him, not during this physical, temporal time that is but a vapor, but right with Him for eternity. And so we need to understand that and make sure that we understand that foundation being laid. And so therefore, when the last time we start talking about God's word is the one that provides that avenue or that means in which one can obtain salvation. Not only that, but it helps man get through this life with as little problems as possible brought in by himself by avoiding sin. And so we talked about that last time. But again, what we want to talk about this time is this idea in the avenue of prayer and the fact that God gave us this. This is how we know that God cares for man, because he gave us this ability to talk to him. Before we jump into some of that, though, I want to first lay out this idea that we see here in Psalm chapter or in the 8th Psalm, verses 3 and 4. What we read here is, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? See, what the psalmist is laying out here, what he's recognizing is this. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he has that power, he has that ability, and he has done that. And so whenever we consider it, whenever we consider the work of the Lord, which causes us to consider his, not only his power, but his knowledge, his wisdom. You know, we consider the greatness of God whenever we consider that. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And so what we see here is this fact being laid out, and it goes on throughout the rest of this psalm talking about the fact of how God has made man in that place. He is mindful of him. He's put him above the animals and just below the angels and all these types of things. But whenever we think about that, what we need to understand and recognize is that God does care about man, and that God is mindful of man. And in particular, as we springboard off of this psalm and this idea, whenever we think about God and his greatness and all of his creation, he created man in his own image. He gave man, he created man with a soul that is eternal, one that, unlike the animals and all the other living things, after they die, they perish. There is no soul. There is no afterlife. What we see here with man is that there is. There is eternal life afterwards. And so God is mindful of man in that way. But not only that, God is mindful of man in the fact that he gives us, out of all his creation, he gives us that ability to come to him in an avenue of prayer, to be able to seek his guidance in that way. And that's what we're going to look at as we go throughout our study today. I want to start off in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. This is a verse that many think of whenever we think of prayer. Paul writing here says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You see there, what we recognize and we realize is that through prayer, what that does is that removes the anxiety. We're not to be anxious. And we're not to be anxious for nothing. There should be nothing that causes us to be anxious. Why? But in everything. That's not just some things, not just this or that, but in everything, all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so what God gives us the ability to do, remember, he's mindful of man. A lot of people want to say, does God care? Is he mindful of man? Does he not know what's going on? Yes, he cares. He wants us to be anxious for nothing, to not live a life that's full of anxiety, but to turn to him in everything, not holding anything back, but in everything, take it to God by prayer and supplication, letting our requests, those things that we need, be made known to God. And that's what we understand. We see the blessing that is there as a result of that. And what happens from that is he gets into verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, this is something that I think man really, it would do him well to ponder on this, to meditate on this idea of the peace of God. Because, see, we look for peace in so many different ways and avenues in this life. Some, it might be getting out. I know, you know, for me being an outdoorsman, it's either going out and hunting or going out and fishing. You know, we look for peace, for release in that way. So others, it might be doing something else, some other hobby that they like to do, reading a book or doing something. See, what I'm trying to bring out is this. We try to search for peace in so many avenues and ways in this life. And while they might be relaxing. I mean, no doubt whenever I go hunting and fishing, I like it a whole lot better than whenever I'm having to do manual labor or work. But with that said, whenever I'm out there, it's not all peace. I run into situations or issues where it's not very fun, right? Whether I'm out on the water and things aren't going my way, things are breaking, or I'm hunting and it's raining or whatever. I mean, the point being, we search for peace in so many different avenues in this life, and we always come up short. Vanity of vanities. You know, that's kind of the idea that we see there in the book of Ecclesiastes. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, says the peace of God that's going to come, that's greater than any peace that we can ever obtain. It surpasses our understanding in the sense that we can't even comprehend it. You know, we think we can get peace by doing these other things. And we think that, you know, there's a certain level which we obtain peace. The bottom line is, whenever we make our requests made known to God, whenever we turn to Him in prayer, we don't have to be anxious for anything. And there's going to be this peace which we can't even comprehend. It surpasses our understanding. And what that'll do is that will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, man wants to think and question, does God care? Yes, He cares. We're out here searching for peace. That's what so many people want in this life. They want to find peace. And one of the things that we'll get into in one of these later studies is the fact that you aren't going to have peace unless you are inside of Jesus Christ. That's the only way in which you can truly have peace. But no doubt, laying your trust and your faith in God through prayer is going to bring a peace which surpasses all understanding, because you are laying this peace. You are laying your cares and your concerns, as we see here in 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You are casting all those cares upon God. And whenever you do that, you're doing that upon the one that you know is the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing God. And you know that He cares for you. And again, we'll get into why He cares for us later, as far as caring for us, the proof through Jesus. And again, that goes along with this whole study. For He cares for you. Does God care for man? Yes. He gives us this avenue of prayer. He gives us that hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's given us His Word. See, what I want us to understand, what I want us to recognize is this. Prayer removes anxiety and brings about peace. Does God care that I'm going through this and that it's causing all these types of emotional feelings, or it might even be physical pain that one is going through? Yes, He cares. And that's why He gives us this avenue of prayer to let go of that anxiety that's brought about by this virus and this thing that's going on, or anything else that might happen in our life, to let go of that and to bring about peace, a peace that surpasses our comprehension. We can't understand how great that peace is. And so we see this. We see that prayer removes anxiety and brings about peace. And it proves, because of the fact that we can cast all our cares upon Him, it proves that He cares for us. But what I want us to see and what I want us to recognize is there are those who were examples of this, who were going through situations that weren't fun, that were less than ideal, and yet what did they do? They turned to God. And, you know, there's probably no greater example than that of Jesus whenever He's praying in the garden. We looked at this a couple weeks ago whenever we talked about the power of prayer. But I think it's a scripture that needs to be brought up in this context as well, that shows that God cares for us. See, the Son of God is here in this case and in this instance, and what He is doing is He is going through what He's about to go through is the death on the cross. And what does He do? He turns to God in prayer. Not once, not twice, but three times. We read here in verse 36 that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Jesus then is a deeply distressed, deeply sorrowful state. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on His face, and He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." We continue in verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, the second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And then he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. We know that God cares for man because whenever his own son was here on this earth walking as a man, what was his avenue, what was his access to God the Father? It was through prayer. And Jesus shows us that as an example. He does the same thing in John 17, 11 through 15. We looked at verse 17 last time where he talks about the fact that that he prayed that God would sanctify his disciples, those whom he was going to leave, by his truth, for his word is truth. And so that's what he prayed. But keep in mind that he's praying to God. He's about to leave, and he's got these people that he cares about so deeply. And what does he do? The Son of God, the one that has the powers and the abilities to work the miracles that he did. How did he go to God? He went to him in prayer. That's how he went to God and accessed the Father and sought help for those who were going to be left behind. He says in verse 11, "Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are, or that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be filled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." See, what Jesus did, Jesus prayed that God would keep them from the evil one, keep them during this time. And what we recognize and what we realize, and a point that we need to understand the power of prayer is this. We have the same access to God that Jesus had. We recognize that and realize that. The Son of God came down to this earth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and He came down and became flesh and dwelt here among us. And that was Jesus. We see that at the beginning of the Gospel of John. Jesus came down to this earth and lived as a man and lived the life that he did. And the way that he accessed the Father was through prayer. Do we recognize and realize that we have that same ability to pray to God? You know, one might ask again, does God care? Yes, he cares. Well, how do you know? Because he has given us the same access to him as he gave to his son whenever he sent him to live the life that he did. God cares for man, and he gives us this ability to pray to him. You know, somebody else who understood the power of prayer and the fact that we need to turn to him in prayer was, I lost the slide there. I don't have the scripture, but was Paul and Silas there in Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles handy with you, you can flip over there. If not, I'll be right there in a minute and we can read the verse real quick. But in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, what we see is Paul and Silas are in prison, and they've been wrongfully in prison. And so they're there and they don't know what's going to come of where they are and what's going on. But we read in verse 25, at midnight, what was Paul and Silas doing? Were they moping? Were they weeping? Were they sitting there saying, "Where is God? Does he care about me that I'm in his situation? I mean, after all, I'm here because I'm doing his will, because I'm working for the Lord. That's why I'm in this situation." Look what they did. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Did you catch that? Oftentimes we'll go to this and we'll see the fact that they were singing, and so we note that and we understand that they're turning to God in that way. But don't ever forget the other thing that they were doing. They were praying and singing. The other prisoners were hearing them. And so does God care? Yes, he cares. He gives us that access to him, and we know what happened as a result of that. There was suddenly a great earthquake, and then eventually Paul and Silas were no longer in that situation, being in prison. So God gives us this access, the same one that he gave his son, the same one that we see throughout the Old Testament, that access to come to him in prayer. And, you know, there might be those who look at that and start wondering, is that a big deal? Is it really that powerful of a thing? And it is. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we wrap this up. But one of the first things I want to talk about before that is this. The fact that where we are on this side of the cross and that Jesus is now at the right hand of God, he is now our high priest. And that's the idea that we get here throughout the book of Hebrews, throughout this letter, is the fact that Jesus is our high priest, and understand the benefit and blessing that that is. We really see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. We read here, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, what we recognize and what we realize here is the blessing that we have to be able to, whenever we pray through this great high priest. You know, whenever we look at the Old Testament, the point of what the high priest would do is the high priest would enter in to the holiest of holies one time a year to offer up sin offerings for both him and then for others. But that would only happen one time a year. We read a little bit later in Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 24, that Jesus, and we even see it here, that he passed through the heavens. But the fact that Jesus doesn't go through that veil that's material, that he is there continually at the right hand of God, and being there, that is who we are praying to and through. Again, not the imagery of just being able to one time a year go in there, but Jesus, because he became that perfect sacrifice, is at the right hand of God and is there continually for us as we pray. And what we see and what we recognize from this is not only is he there, but he is one who can sympathize with us because he was at all points tempted as we are, yet he did it without sin. So he knows whenever we are coming to God through him, whenever we're praying to God through Jesus, and he casts that to God, he is that advocate for us. What we recognize and that we realize is that Jesus understands what we're going through. We have an advocate, not that doesn't understand what we're going through, but understands what we are going through in this life. Yet he did it without sin. He was that perfect example for us. And what this allows us to do is to come boldly before the throne of grace. We can come boldly before it and find help in time of need. God cares for man. If he did not, this avenue would not be there. This ability to come to him, to have a high priest, as we see a shadow for in the Old Testament, to have that high priest that understands what we're going through. If God didn't care, he wouldn't have provided that. But God does care. He cares for man so much that he gave us Jesus, who became our king and our high priest, sitting at the right hand of God, so that we have access to the Father in this way. And again, he's one that knows what we're going through. One of the things I brought up earlier that I want us to come back to and end with, you know, we need to understand how big of a blessing this is to be able to pray to God. A lot of people might sit here and they'll listen to this and they'll say, okay, so I get it. I know that there's this avenue of prayer out there, but does it really show that God cares? You know, I know that he's given it to us, to man, the ability to come to him, and that we see the examples of Jesus doing it and all that. And I got, but really, is that him showing that he cares? And I want to tell you, it does, and we see it in all the scriptures that we've laid out, but we really see it here in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, and again, we went through this a couple weeks ago when we talked about the power of prayer, but I want to bring it up in this context as well, answering this question, does God care for man? Yes, he cares for man because he gives us this avenue of prayer, and let me show you why the ability to come to God in this means shows that he cares. We read in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You see what's being laid out here? Conflict, sickness, illness, struggles, those things are going to happen in this life. So how does God show us that he cares? The way that he does it is we get to come to that one that has all power, all ability, all wisdom, all knowledge. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that we started off with in Psalm 8, that we read that he is mindful of man. That's the one that we get to go to in order to have healing, in order to have help, in order to have guidance. And he proves this with what he says in the next two verses. Elijah was a man like the nature of ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. You understand, and what we see here is this, the simple fact that prayer works. See, God proves that he cares for man. Because although sickness, although pain, although conflict and suffering is here, what he gives us is that avenue to come to the one who has all power and ability. And in doing so, just like Elijah did, the proof is in the pudding, as we might say. The proof is there. He cares for man. Prayer works. There is power behind prayer. And whenever we do it, whenever we see it through this lens, we recognize and realize that God does care for man. And by going to him, by giving him this access to him, to be able to talk to him, to cast all of our cares and concerns upon him, to pray to him, be anxious for nothing but by everything, in prayer and supplication, come to him. Know that he cares for us. If God doesn't care about man, why does he give man this opportunity to talk and bring everything to the one who is omnipotent in prayer? If God doesn't care for us, then why does he give us the ability to come to him, to talk to him, to bring everything, as we talked about earlier, not holding anything back, but bringing everything to him, if it is his will, bringing it to that one who is omnipotent? See, we need to understand and we need to recognize, we need to realize that God does care for man. See, man brought about the destruction that happens here. That's sin. When sin entered into this world, that all that stuff started happening. But what God gives us the ability to do and why and how we know that he cares for us is he gives us that avenue of prayer. I hope you found the study helpful. I hope you found it beneficial. And I hope we take this and recognize through the first two that we've talked about, God cares for us because he gave us his word. It is through his word that we can gain wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and that we can, through his word, be wise unto salvation. But God also cares for us in the fact that he gives us this avenue of prayer. Well, if those two are true, and they are, then we need to study God's word more, and we need to pray more. Because that is God giving us and showing us that he cares. We need to access that. We need to go to him. We need to spend more time down on our knees in prayer. And we need to spend more time in his word, gaining knowledge and wisdom that will make us wise unto salvation. Again, like I said, we're going to continue these thoughts and this idea of God showing us that he cares. And in particular, that what he really cares about is about our spiritual well-being. Through his word, through the avenue and ability to come to him in prayer. And next time what we're going to look at is the fact that we know he cares for us. Why? Because he sent us his only begotten son, that through him we might have eternal life. Again, I hope you found this helpful, beneficial. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact me. If you'd like to have a Bible study, please reach out to me. Thank you and have a blessed day.